Morning, everybody. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. Okay, this is such an exciting day for me. You've heard me say this 100 times that Katie Boland's going to be on the show. Guess who I've got in studio?
Yay!
It's Katie Boland, everybody. How's it going, Katie?
Really good. I'm really also sorry that it took this long to get it together for us.
Okay, I have the first question for you.
Okay.
Are you as busy as you seem?
I can't be. No. I don't think so. I think I'm... Here's the thing. I think I say yes to everything.
Yes.
And then later the week will shake out and I'll be like, oh, I absolutely can't do that. I should have just been like, actually, I don't know if I can yet.
Now, do you ever find that you say yes to everything and then some stuff cancels and then you're like, oh shit, I could have done the other stuff? Or is it more what you just said, which is that you end up being wall to wall?
There's definitely times when I end up being wall to wall, but I also think there's just a feeling of being overwhelmed in general in my life where I'm like, oh God, no, I can't do that. And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, you could have.
Okay, let's yeah. let's jump right into
maybe
psychology here.
Use your iCal.
Use your iCal. Yeah. He's like, I'm fucking the worst for this. I'm always canceling on people, but yes. have time, but it's not the time they have.
Right, could have shifted.
Could have shifted. Are you afraid of having alone time? Let's
yes.
go there right now.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. I feel like this is what our conversations are like just
this
in life, so why not just like get
into chatting between takes.
Yes, yeah. And that's something that I'm trying to work on is not totally freak out the second I'm not completely wall-to-wall scheduled or know what the next couple of months are going to look like. But, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but obviously, like, addiction and that kind of stuff runs in my family. So the way my ism manifests
yeah.
is in being a workaholic.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get it because yeah. I've turned to that mm-hmm. in giving up booze and drugs. It's like, if I'm not up till 3 a.m., I'm failing
yep.
at life.
Yeah.
What happens when you are alone? Quiet, downtime.
I find it the least relaxing.
Wow.
Like, it has for sure gotten better in uh-huh. the past couple of months because I've really been trying to focus on it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely hate it.
I've learned to love it, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had this moment after about 2 years of not drinking or drugs where I was lying in bed and I went, oh my God, this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the room's not shaking and my cats are on the bed and this is, like, okay.
Yeah.
And it kind of set me up for a bit of success in, like, we were talking about this, relationships.
Yeah.
Because by being okay being alone, I actually maybe then could be presentable to someone as a possible partner.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying totally, and I think my way of numbing whatever is going on underneath is just being like so busy with work and not knowing like what I have to do next. But to be able to like sit and be alone and think about how I'm actually feeling, it presents like a lot to open up in the world and other opportunities.
So let's talk about this. I don't normally, when I have guests, go through this way, but I kind of want to with you
yeah.
because you're so involved in so many stuff. I think we have this in common.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to the beginning. Like, you grew up in a family of artists.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
So my mom, I think everyone listening to this probably knows,
yeah.
Gail, is she's a very successful TV and film director.
Yep.
And when I was a kid, she was a stills photographer.
Yeah, I was just at the CFC looking
yes,
at all her photos.
Yes, looking at all her
she's
photos.
She's wonderful.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
My dad was a journalist. He's retired now.
Yep.
And my brother is a rapper and a sound engineer.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I grew up in a very creative family.
And how did, like, do you know what you want to do as a kid, or do you have a freedom that you now realize other kids maybe didn't have?
I think anything was possible. Like,
right.
there was nothing I could tell my mom or dad that I wanted to do where they would say, that's not realistic, or you should go to school. But I was also one of those weird kids where since I was 3, I knew I wanted to be an actress and a writer.
Like, really?
Yeah, so weird.
Okay, I get the acting part.
Yeah.
How did you know you wanted to be a writer at that age?
I think because I saw my dad writing all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool to, like, sit at the typewriter.
My dad's a writer and my parents are retired profs.
Oh.
And, I always say, if you want to teach a kid how to read, read in front of them.
Yep.
Don't read to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're just teaching them how to be read to.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some parents that argue, but I know how to read because when there's no one else doing anything but reading in a room, I find something, I pick it up, and I imitate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's a really true point.
Yeah. Did you do any artistic stuff like dancing or go to an art school?
It's funny. I didn't go to an art school. I went to a very typical run-of-the-mill high school in the Beaches, which I felt like was a relief because I was working at that time. Like, I would be on set, and then I would go back to just the most normal possible school environment,
right.
and that was healthy, I thought. But no, I was the same as I am now when I was a kid, where if I wasn't really good at something right away, I was like, well, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would like dance or like do piano, but I would be like not great. And
so you're fuck them.
Yeah, I was like, fuck them. I wish though, I know every kid says this, but I wish I had been forced to like get past that, because then,
well,
I think my life
would
be
funny because, okay, so to those of you listening, and there's probably 10 less because I'm not promoting it as much because I'm taking a 3-month break from all social media. Other than Twitter, but I don't know. It's not a real break, but it's I'm not on Facebook and promoting myself as much. That's the point. But a lot of it has to do with what you're talking about, which is I actually want to get back to things like karate's just doing karate, and it doesn't change for you. You don't get to go, this is... I don't get to spin fighting. I either get hit or I hit the guy. And I want more things like that in my life instead of... Oh, great day at the thing, but my day was shit. You know, spinning stuff. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you liked spinning stuff as a kid. Because the harder stuff, you wanted to go, no, I just want to create my own version.
Yes. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's interesting. Well, because now that I'm getting older and you kind of have to deal with all this stuff that's underneath, you know, like your own emotional stuff. I think I was always, like, very self-critical and a perfectionist. And that... has been my Achilles heel always.
Right.
Yeah.
So then how are you a perfectionist as a writer? Like, you're young, let's say what age were you starting to work as an actor at?
Ooh, like a kid, like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But I didn't start really writing till I was 20, 21.
Okay, so you're younger and you're acting. Are you a perfectionist at that? Or are you just doing it for fun?
Oh, no, I was always, like, very serious about it.
Right.
Like, I was always like, this is shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, because a lot of our listeners are actors, let's talk about how can we critique ourselves accurately at all, and therefore, what role does that perfectionism play, good or bad?
Okay. I don't think perfectionism ever plays a good role.
I agree entirely.
Yeah, because I think it ultimately just, like, robs you of any happiness.
And it's egoic as fuck.
Yeah, like, it's such
a
narcissist
thing.
Trying
hanging out with this so
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
To the listeners who are regular, have I not said this all along?
Yes.
It's such narcissism to be like, I'm fucking shit. And it's like, well, why, when were we talking about you today? Like,
yeah.
Why is this all about you all of a sudden and how you're doing at it?
Exactly. So, and then to your other question, can you ever critique yourself? No. Like, no one ever has any kind of objective relationship with themselves.
I don't think so.
It's just impossible.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, but I think what I always had and what I think a lot of actors have that actually can make you improve is I always really had the desire to be good. Right? So I always wanted to, like, learn or study or watch movies, or if I felt like it wasn't up to what I thought I could do, I would always push myself harder.
So you're looking at other people's examples.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I love that. And then how are you dating while you're a young actor? Are you, like, in high school? Like,
oh,
are people going, oh, she's on, you know, what were some of your early shows?
I did, like, kid shows, which were... I mean, in retrospect, I was like, oh, that was great. At the time, I found it, like, embarrassing when people would talk to me about them.
Right.
But I had one boyfriend in high school who I'm still very good friends with.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really date a lot. Like, I didn't get asked out a lot.
Right.
I always think I was... It's kind of precocious, and I think that that's very weird for other kids.
Dude, I was precocious as fuck.
Yeah.
And it was so hard for me to connect with girls.
Yeah.
And it was both them with me.
Yeah.
Because I seemed really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I liked big words, and I liked education, and I liked learning from adults.
Yeah.
School was awesome.
I've had adult friends my whole life. Like,
yeah.
Literal, like, friends. I was 8, and they were, like, 35, and I was, like,
especially with the
friends.
Career, right?
Yeah.
Totally, and it's a sort of absurd thing at times. But yeah, that precocious thing is not good for dating.
No.
And plus, for me, I did not just know how to look at a girl and go, do you want to go to the mall after school? There was always a spin to it. There was always a performance to it. And it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah.
I wish I could have just said that to, you know, whatever the gal was. So you weren't like, oh, Katie Boland's on that show and being hit on all the time.
No, I wasn't cool in high school. At all. I mean, I had friends, and I wasn't bullied, luckily, but I didn't go to parties, I didn't drink.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I was probably, like, 16 or 17 when I first made out with someone.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You'd have been very valuable in some Saudi Arabian markets.
Oh,
a sheikh would have paid $1 million for your pure...
Fuck, I fucked it up. I should have gone that route.
You should have gone that route.
You're
You'd
so
have
rich
made
now.
More than we'd have made as actors yet.
Yeah.
In... No, dude. So then you're working away, and then did you think about going to university at all? Did you go to university?
I went to Humber for creative writing, and that's actually how I got my manuscript for my book that is that came out. But I never went to university. It was always correspondence.
Right. And then talk to me about your writing. Like, just everything about...
Like, what I'm doing now?
Well, I mean, for example, I read your articles that you've been posting, but what's the book? Where can we buy it?
I think you can get it on... Like, I think it might still be in some bookstores, but on Amazon and probably for sure.
What's it called?
It's called Eat Your Heart Out. It's a collection of short stories. It came out 2-ish years ago.
Yes.
And I haven't actually written any... fiction. I'm working on another novel now, but since I finished that, because I've been focusing so much on my production company and screenplays now. So so I have 3 shows in development, and that's also why I've been busy lately, because it has been a lot.
Well, and you wanted to wait a sec just to talk about it.
Just to be able to even talk about that.
So tell me first off how that works, why you couldn't talk about it before,
right.
And then talk about it.
Okay, so I couldn't talk about them. I knew the shows had been put into development at the CBC, but I couldn't talk about them because the deals took so long to close.
So the deal wasn't done.
With partners. Yes. With, like, the other people that I'm writing with. And,
yep.
So then you can't talk about it because it could not be real,
exactly.
Right? But so basically how it works is I went in and I pitched my show ideas to the CBC, and they took both basically in the room. And then you write two episodes of each, and it's kind of a weird time in my life right now too, because in about a month I'll know if I'm going to be like a showrunner who's writing and starring in her own show, or just like unemployed again.
Right. Oh yeah.
So it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but when your life is going to change, you know, one way or another so drastically, it's very hard to conceptualize in a weird way. Like, I'm not worried about what happens. I'm not sitting here like anxiety ridden.
You know, I don't get anxiety ridden. I just start shopping.
Right.
Because I start thinking about the money.
Oh yeah. Because I have done that. Yeah
like energetically, I'm not going to change a lot if I'm shooting 100 days as a lead of a show, or my year ends up being 70 days as guest lead in indie film, but the money is going to be significantly different. Mm-hmm. So I start thinking about house down payments and my next Porsche. So this is where I get fucked up, because I start creating my wish list. When I was younger, I thought it was going to change my life.
Yeah.
And it didn't the way I wanted it to, because wherever you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, actually, that's part of the reason why I started drinking and doing so many drugs is, but wait a minute, TV roles were going to save me.
Right.
And then I got a lead role as my first role. And when it didn't change me, it actually made me act less than all the theater I was doing per capita day on set. I felt distraught.
Made you sadder.
Sadder.
Yeah.
I had big holes because of what it didn't do for me. Hmm. And it took me something unrelated to work and acting to find any kind of fulfillment that I thought was going to come. Even though acting is very fulfilling for me, it can't fill that hole in my soul. Mm-hmm. That one's for something else. You know, that's spirituality or not spirituality. But anyways, it certainly wasn't going to be from work. So I can relate to that feeling for sure.
Yeah.
But for me these days, it's all shopping. It's all, what can I buy?
Yeah, I have done a lot of shopping lately. Now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, same.
So can you talk about these projects at all, or do you still want to...
One is called Center Punch, and it's an hour-long policing drama that I'm doing with Callum De Hartog.
Yep.
So he's my partner on that, and he's an amazing writer and also a SWAT guy in real life.
Don't love Callum because I didn't get hired on Cracked, and I don't know if he's the one.
He does love you, though.
I actually do love him. He's so great.
You guys are very similar. You remind me of each other, even physically. Yeah.
No, that's probably why I went pretty close to getting that role. But no, these things are tough because I have to have a villain. And even though he was so charming, nice, delightful.
And it definitely wasn't his choice.
No, this is how my head worked. He literally walked me out and said, "You're fucking wonderful at what you do," after my screen test.
I love him.
And I've decided that he's the reason I didn't get the part. Not really, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I need a villain. It can't just be that something worked better for the 9 people choosing.
Right.
But that's great. I'm really happy, and I'm totally kidding about him. I'd love to see him again.
But yeah, no, he's actually
not really kidding.
You.
But no, I'm totally kidding.
He's told me about you and like how great he thinks you are.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that show, I mean, his initial scripts were fantastic.
Yes, and working with him has been so great, and we've had such a good time and are really quite good friends now.
Amazing.
And then the other one is called Gold Lame, and it's a half-hour comedy, and I'm working on that with Katie Ford, who mm-hmm. is a wonderful writer as well, and she wrote Miss Congeniality, amongst other things, and that's been really great too. And obviously my partner on both is my mom, so if they go, either one, I'd be thrilled.
I just want to say Gutter Punch and Gold Lame are about two of the best titles I've heard. No, seriously, these things fucking matter, man.
My dad was a headline writer as well as other things, so I think I like have that, maybe.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you happily take full advantage of the general nepotism of having grown up.
Absolutely. Nepotism has really helped me.
Give me fucking five right now.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend it hasn't.
No!
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about this who's like, my dad's a director, and he put me in his film, and I was like, you need to cast me because I'm the best one, not because I'm your daughter.
I have another friend like this who has a very successful parent who won't take a fucking job from him. And I'm like, first of all, they'll fire you if you're
bad.
Okay?
Yes.
And in this current world... Take advantage of what you can.
And the other thing I always say is this. Look, my parents couldn't give me a role in TV film, mm-hmm. but they also gave me the genetics of white leading man male mm-hmm. and the education to read Shakespeare or whatever fucking script in 2 seconds and learn the lines. Mm-hmm. So did I earn that? Mm-hmm. Or was I kind of given that by the circumstances in which I grew up? Mm-hmm. So the fact that I go down for every leading man role in Toronto, I didn't earn my looks mm-hmm. or my nose or my jawline. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's like, well, I didn't earn the role, it's like, your fucking dad wants to give you the role, take the role. Mm-hmm. Because it is so hard. And I just don't think there's any way to demingle them, even if you wanted to.
I mean, yeah, I think that I have been born into so much like privilege and opportunity. And I also think I'm a person who has been like pushed it forward for myself.
I think so, too.
So it's
I know who your mom is because of you.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good thing.
Right.
That's like the penniless immigrant coming and like opening the shop and working 18 hours. And then the kid doesn't have to become a millionaire, but maybe they go to school and then they get a professional degree.
And I think I've also learned my mom is such a hard worker, and I've learned that from her. Like whether that's just genetics that I was given or that's the example that I saw. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, I have benefited from nepotism.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
Yes.
You were posting the best fucking photos from Sudbury and going out fucking drinking at night and having a blast. And I'm going to infer fucking hooking up some Sudbury strange. Maybe not, but I'm just saying being out and having a good time.
Yeah.
How, you're talking about working hard. How do you balance that? Because it seems like you have a great time and you do a lot of social stuff.
Yeah, I also am very social. I wonder if I'm hypomanic. Does that make sense? Like, that kind of chemical imbalance runs in my family.
Okay.
And I wonder if I have, like, because I don't... I mean, I do get periods where I'm sad and, like, more slow. But there's also, like, I'm able to do an incredible amount in a day. And I'm like, that can't be normal.
I don't know. Well, I think if you're not sitting still the way we started with, then it is normal.
Then it is, because it's like,
Yeah, and that's something I'm actually currently struggling with, is that I've got this script I'm starting, and, I'm taking time off my teaching and even the social media. It mm-hmm. frees up.
Oh, my God.
Like, I wake up in the morning, and I'm not looking at
Facebook.
Not reading,
like,
I'm not looking at Instagram.
That,
and we were talking about this. I can't even remember if the mic started. I don't give a fuck about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about most of your social causes. Mm-hmm. That I don't have a personal investment with. Mm-hmm. You know, I know what my social causes are and whatever. So it's so delightful. But I've got a 45 minutes to an hour and a half in the morning extra. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm never hungover. There's another bit of time. Mm-hmm. The point, though, is that if I'm not a workaholic, I feel like I'm not working hard enough.
I never...
That's what workaholism is.
Yeah. It's the same kind of delusion that any addict has, where it's like the drunk is like, but I could stop. I could only have two. I'm fine.
So you're an addict. You own that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I mean, but also it's like I've spent so much time in like those communities and have so many of those people in my life that it's like, well, I mean, I can't lie to myself. I know.
Well, I always say this too with people who are like, hey, listen, it's good you're not drinking and doing drugs, but isn't like recovery a new version of addiction?
Yes. Or when,
and I said, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
There's a groove in my brain that does need to be filled. There's a groove in my soul that needs to be filled. Mm-hmm. If I actually get to fucking choose what it is instead of have this habitual death trap mm-hmm. choosing, I don't care if it's still an addiction. It's a better one.
Yeah.
Like people get hooked on going to the gym. It's like, that's a lot of fucking time at the gym, but that's pretty good.
That's pretty, that's okay.
There's worse ways to be spending all those hours.
I also think as human beings, like, if you want to, you have to know, like, what you're working with, right? Like, with yourself. So, like, what do you have that's, like, not so good, and what do you have that's good, and how can you combine them, and what are the limitations of that, you know? And I think I, in some ways, like, know that about myself, and just am trying to make it work for me.
Let's talk about that, because yeah. I think that's going to be helpful for people listening, yeah. and for me, because that's the thing. I always talk on this show about blind spots, mm-hmm. and the idea that we have them, mm-hmm. and my standard example is usually when people tell me what their strength is, it's actually the thing I have to get over to like them. Mm. Like, we're not only wrong about ourselves, we're usually wrong while describing the thing. Like my mom saying I don't drink while drinking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So where would you have found that? Is it intuitive, or did you read books that you can recommend?
I mean, see a therapist.
Yes.
Also, it's just us and the listeners, like, to be honest, but, like, I mean, you have to, I hit a rock bottom. Like, yeah. it was emotionally, like, really difficult after a relationship that I was in broke up. It took me till after to realize, okay, that this is my sobriety and recovery, and that was my rock bottom, but I just could not keep going the way that I was.
And was it that you were giving over energetically, or what was the bottom? Like, mine was pretty straightforward.
Right.
You can't drink or do drugs anymore. You might die, and everything you love is going away.
Right.
So that's it.
Right.
I was kind of lucky that it was that clear.
Yeah. Mine was just like, I am so unhappy, and I don't have X thing to, you know, fill these holes anymore, no matter how unhealthy it was. Relationship with that guy, yes. whatever guy.
Yeah.
That I was like, I have to fix this. I think also my consciousness shifted, and I knew that I just couldn't. Like, I had a choice to either throw my life away, essentially, no matter how, like, successful I looked on the outside.
Right.
Or be like, okay, no, I am actually going to, this stops now.
Right. So I got a question then, because you have a social media presence that's very complete and quite, like, lovely and perfect. It, you know, no, come on, you got to know this. People are aware of you via social media, even if they don't know you.
Right.
And because of the parties and because of the work and because, I mean, again, we can earn our way to, we'll call it a podium. I mean, that's a weird thing, but you can earn your way to a podium, but then people are like, oh, look at her on the podium. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that that's any aspect of having a presence. At the same time, in some of the articles I've read, especially one about the red carpet, which I particularly loved, and even right now, you're so willing to be blatantly honest about what you're actually going through. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that's a challenge, or that it's like, no, other people might read into my social media what they want, but this is just, it's all the same. Are you presenting anything with those mm-hmm. photos or with that life?
I mean, I think for sure I'm presenting, like, oh, I think I look the best here.
Of course.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, okay, this is a good picture versus this is a bad picture. Like, but it's weird because, so where I think I'm, like, delusional or have a distortion is, like, how I view myself and how I must come across to other people. Because I think, like, often I'm like, my life is a mess. I write so openly about everything, like, fucked up that's going on in it, or all my feelings, that I can't picture someone looking at me and thinking, like, oh, she has it together, or her life seems...
Is that true? Are you telling me the truth right now?
Yeah.
Really?
It's actually, like, what I work on a lot.
Okay.
It's, like, that... Yeah, because I see my life, and I see, like, all the things that I haven't done, and that I think are...
Right.
That I need to do.
Sure.
Right? And so it's hard for me to think that anyone would be,
I fucking,
like,
struggle with the same thing, because on one hand, like... Again, I mean, I've got this, like, life's good for me right now. And so people are like, wow, it looks like you got it all together. It's like, I do, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And I always struggle, my current struggle is with how much drive to have toward what I want, and then how much to say, God or universe, what would you have me do?
I know.
So that I'm not ignoring maybe a better path. Because in the past, when I got what I wanted, like I talked about the TV series, it wasn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then the world went, no, you fucking want internal happiness, you want friendship, you want joy. Mm-hmm. But I had been fighting for a magazine cover that didn't give me any of that. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting one for me, because that, what you're talking about with that, like, looking at what you lack instead of what you have. Mm-hmm. So no, I totally hear that. It's interesting for me, because I think in this current climate, and I really believe YouTube has a lot to do with this, honesty and... honesty, authenticity is the currency. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the photos on Instagram are so obviously not that.
Yeah.
But then our writing and our acting has to be that 100% or it's considered bullshit, which is an interesting high wire act.
Yeah.
We take 90 photos to post the one.
Yeah.
But then the more honestly we write, like you say about your life falling apart, the more people are like, see, she's got her life all together.
Right.
Because the very act of being honest about it is having your life together.
Yes. Yeah. It's, I can be in something, like going through it, but then also write about it with a certain amount of like distance and clarity,
sure.
which is weird. Like,
it's a gift.
Yeah. People also, when they're reading my scripts or whatever, they're like, oh, like you have such a voice. Like you have a voice.
Right.
And I don't really think that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that to other people, I seem to have like a pretty clear point of view and know what I want to say.
Which is great, because that to me is such a good balance. Like, I'm good at a lot of things, but I also know where I need to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even car racing. Like, I'm a real fucking quick driver on the track, but I know, yeah, but I'm not as quick as these people, and also this is how I'm going to get that quick if I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a fool to pretend I'm as quick as them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, like, mm-hmm. I may as well stop now then. So then, talk to me about this. This is something I'm really interested in these days. Are you aware that you're a writer, creator, producer, possible showrunner, actor, or are you a female writer, a female showrunner? Because there's this, I call it the feminissance.
Yeah.
You can use that.
Thank you.
I don't think you're going to be using that.
Feminissance.
Well, you know, it's this renaissance of...
It's interesting. Okay, so... I sort of operate from a place of, like, I can do anything. And I think my mom is also, like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's, right now, is a hot time to have young female writers.
Absolutely.
So I think that I have benefited from the feminissance.
Yes.
I also am...
You can say it unironically.
Yeah. Yeah. No, before I am anything sort of politically, I'm a feminist. Like, I am...
Right.
Like, a card-carrying feminist.
Right.
And I... will, like, get into fights with people about it and tell them that they're, you know, how fucking stupid they are.
Okay, so let's maybe get into a fight here, because I want to talk about an article that you brought to my attention that your friend Ingrid wrote.
Right.
I think it's an awful article. I think the two places where she talks about sexism, she actually was responsible for the bad audition by being on her phone, by improvising, and it just didn't work, and then taking it so personally that she ducked out. She, by her own description... And then the other two went pretty well, and even the dude who asked her out only asked her out after the professional part was over. And then the only other thing I have to say, and this one is definitely arguable, the revealing clothes she chose to wear. I have an ex-girlfriend who booked two series leads wearing track pants and sweatshirts in LA. It can be done. And these were pretty girl leads. I'm just saying that I felt in that article that she abdicated personal responsibility and named it sexism. Now, what do you think of that? I don't need you to agree. I don't even know if I fully think that. But I remember reading and going, this seems to me like it's wearing a mantle that isn't actually what she's even describing having happened.
Right. Well, I think you're wrong.
Okay. No. I'd like to be
but
wrong.
But also, it's I mean, Ingrid is like one of my best friends, so I also feel like we could take it away from her article.
I was hoping to take it away from her because I don't know her, and it seems like a lot of people do. And it's not about her as much as...
Just in in general, do I think that there are like gender biases or,
you know,
are there inequalities to being a woman? And the answer is yes.
Yes. Now, where it gets interesting for me, and this is why I want to talk to you about it, is for my money, that article was just about someone who could have been a little more, like, I don't care if you're a guy or a girl. If I'm on my phone in front of producer bosses, I'm making a mistake. There's no sexism. And if they're talking about their homes in Malibu and they go, what's up? And I'm like, well, I don't have a home in Malibu. I'm being a little bit stubborn. And I've even had Ben Stiller's wife. I was screen testing with her. And after the first scene, she kind of looked and went, ooh, bit intense. And they went, thanks, Sean. We don't need to do the second scene. Mm-hmm. So the lead and the producers get to tell the unknown, it's over now. Or we didn't like what you did. I know that it probably happens more, but I'm just saying that I've had personal experience where it's like...
Well, okay. First, no, I think if you're screen testing, you're auditioning, you're an actor, like, you're in a bad position. Like, you're going to be disrespected, male or female, if that's true. But I also think what Ingrid was talking about and sort of the greater point of that article, which you may have missed, is as a woman, you are consistently mistreated in the film industry. That's no matter what. And I see that happen to my mom more than I see it happen to me. And because I think I am a more palatable version of my mom.
Right.
Because I am younger and I can pretend I'm dumber than I am.
Right.
And she just doesn't have time for the bullshit anymore, where I play into it 100% still. So I think that there comes a point, especially when I think before to really own being a feminist and what makes like sort of makes you feel in your heart that you are one and it's a cause you have to fight for is you're fucking mad. Like right. It wasn't until maybe two years ago when I got really fucking mad about a lot of the shit that I had to deal with as a woman in like my love life and my professional life that I was finally like, no, I am a fucking feminist and like, fuck you if you want to fight with me about it.
See, this is what I needed to hear. And,
yeah.
And Emily had the exact same response because mm-hmm. my thing was, I feel like, cause I grew up with a feminist mom, mm-hmm. full on feminist, like got rights for pregnant women, got proper fucking, you know, the stuff. From the 60s. And she was also illogical and wrong in the house about 90% of the time, if not 99% of the time. So I have a familial thing with a bully feminist mm-hmm. who is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, okay, big picture, you're right. Mm-hmm. But small picture, like what you're talking about over Love Boat, is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what's interesting is that, so Em and I got into it a bit about the idea of small pendulum. Obviously, we disagree about Ingrid's article, but I'm like, when I hear people praising the article, I'm like, big picture, yes, I'm a feminist too. Mm-hmm. Small picture, that's not a good article to me. That's an ill-written article. And I feel like sometimes we're supposed to say something's good that isn't for the greater good. It sounds like you might think that that's right, what I just said. I'm not even sure. I don't think it's right.
Right. Well, no, I think it is a good article.
Right.
I really
so
love
that's
that
the difference.
Article.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. But I do think that there are ways in which things will happen to me in society that will really like be a trigger
yes.
or set me off, and I will probably have like an extreme reaction that you might be like, what the fuck? Like, why are you reacting
right.
like that?
Yes.
For example, I went on a date recently, and it was our second or third date, and I said to the guy, like, would you, so I forget how it came up in conversation, but it somehow came up, would you have respected me less if I had slept with you on the first date? And his answer was, yes.
Right.
And I said, like, that is misogyny, like, that is rape culture, you are wrong, you need to think about it differently.
Okay.
And he was like, like I could tell he was just like, what just happened? Like, this is a completely different, like, who is this that I'm talking to right now?
Right.
But I felt like in that moment, like, it just upset me so much. And I thought, no, like, I have to tell him, like, he needs to know why this is wrong. Whereas the same as if people will be talking about police brutality and they'll say, like, well, you know, why are you wearing a hood?
Yeah.
You need to tell people why that's wrong. That's where I'm at now with all this feminism and social justice or whatever. Like, I'm at the point where it's like, if you are fucking wrong, I'm going to tell you.
I'm with you on this. And this is what's interesting for me, because obviously, you know, it sounds like we agree entirely on the police. It's like this fucking white privilege stuff. And this is the thing that I have to accept, is that I utterly have male privilege. Mm-hmm. So yes, I went to summer camp, grew up taking ballet with only women, and had a feminist mom. So girls were just people to me. Mm-hmm. I don't differentiate. But that's the same argument of I never had a slave, so fuck the black guys. And I don't feel that way at all, obviously, about women. But it is interesting because I'm sort of taking things on a one-to-one basis. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was one project where somebody needed an AD, and I said, oh, I'll AD for you. I'll volunteer my time. And they're like, oh, we need a woman. It's an all-woman thing.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't want to be that guy going, well, where's the all men project? Because the answer is they've always been.
Yeah.
But I've never been on one that was all men. And I've actually been told you can't do a job because you're a man. And what I'm learning about is the more insidious, like,
Em's never
overtly been told she can't do something because she's a guy.
Because she's a woman, yeah.
But the actual societal structure is that it's not going to work.
And I also, so this is interesting because I have this conversation a lot. One, about my shows being in development, because there's a certain amount of, like, you need to cast minorities.
Just in that direction, a little more.
So you need to cast minorities.
Yeah.
And it is literally something that you have a conversation about, like, could this character be black?
Yeah.
Okay, so to me, I'm like, well, that's kind of weird.
Yes, it is.
And also, it's do we need to mandate like female directors, producers, certain amount of roles
right.
being female? Do you need to actually mandate it on a government level? So the answer is like, yes, until there is representation.
See, this is what's interesting. Right. I agree with you 100%.
Right.
I'm for affirmative action if we're
right.
calling it that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what, until it gets better, because it is dismal right now, I do think it needs to be mandated. And what's interesting is people will be fine with it if it's, oh, I want to give 30% of the government money to Quebec. Because that's what happens in film and film
right.
TV right now, right? Because that's representation.
Yes.
Okay, they're not 30% of the population.
No.
Women are 50%.
I get it.
Yeah, so that's where it's like it. Yeah, this is, we have to make changes, even if they're in some ways you're like, oh, well, that's like, that's uncomfortable. Or
no.
that's like pretty, yeah, that's, you can't have this job because you're a man. And people will plainly say that to you.
Right, and this is what's interesting to me is that I'm learning how to undo my childhood wound of angry feminist, making things shitty that have nothing to do with feminism.
Yeah.
Just angry.
Yeah.
And making the night bad.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, no, there's an inequality that I actually fully support writing. Because
mm-hmm.
Em and I got in a fight the other day about it, and we don't fight much. And I was like, at the end of it, I really heard what she was saying
mm-hmm.
because the anger you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another thing you probably have to deal with, which is, oh, you're angry or you're being bitchy or something, which is something we don't have to deal with as guys.
Oh, yeah. Like just the amount of how often I'm told I'm crazy and also believe I'm crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think that's a societal standard for men.
It's an interesting one because I get told I'm crazy a lot, but I think I'm kind of crazy. So, and see, this is where I am, an interesting one, because I do get told I'm crazy a lot, and I always have.
Right.
And obviously the stuff I'm talking about with my mom. So it's where I'm actually genuinely trying to find, right, but I got told that, or I got whatever, or I got whatever. So in my actual life experience,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't played out the way, again, what's interesting for me is like, Facebook tells me it's playing out.
Mm.
Or, you know what I mean? And this is why I'd rather have one-on-one chats about it
mm-hmm.
and go, my experience is valid, but as is yours. And then I don't know where the societal ball or movement has to come from. And I guess that's the point of being angry or caring, is that we get to pick and fight for it.
Yeah, and also that hopefully this sort of like renaissance of feminism or people talking about it, especially in the film industry, will affect some sort of change.
I think it has to.
I think it has to.
I think it has to. And I don't know. I mean, even unknowingly, but because of women wanting to make changes, the only two things I've ever directed are two female leads, female-driven
mm-hmm.
story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not the stories I pictured growing up.
Yeah.
That's not what I thought I'd direct.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's the most interesting story to tell because there's a uniqueness, there's a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes not from me, guy, who would tell a revenge male drama. That comes from the ladies going, you seem to have a drive and a sensitivity, but this is what we'd actually rather focus on.
Yeah.
And I like that because it grows me, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing I talk a lot about on the show is not just repeating who we are.
Yeah.
Oh, this is who I am. This is how I am. This is how I am. It's like, first off, you're wrong. That's not how you
yeah.
are.
Yeah, yeah.
And secondly, what fucking kind of a life is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 40 and I always think about it. I left my folks' house at 18. That means I've only been making my own choices for half my life.
Mm-hmm.
That means I have at least two more of these full adult lives ahead of me. I sure as shit don't want to be done thinking the way I'm thinking
yeah.
and call that a day.
Well, there's this Joan Didion quote that I think about a lot, and it's, we tell ourselves stories in order to live.
Yeah.
And I think that we do. Like, we all have stories about our past or things that always happen to us or who we are. And it's, eventually you have to be like, that's just a story
yeah.
that I'm telling myself. If I don't want that to be true anymore, it doesn't have to be.
Have you read A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle?
Yes.
She talks about the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So what's a story you're telling yourself right now that, let's make a pact with the viewers here.
Okay.
What's a story you're telling yourself that we're going to commit to stopping, and then I'll tell you mine.
Hmm.
Mine's the fucking same one.
Okay. Mine is... Oh, it's tough because I feel like there's a couple that I am not working hard enough.
Woo. Yeah. So you're going to, we're going to try and not tell that story again.
Yeah.
So later today, when you think I'm not working hard enough,
I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to watch Dateline right now.
I'm going to watch Dateline. Mine is the fucking same loop. It's that I killed my career on booze and drugs.
Right.
And if only I hadn't, mm-hmm. I'd be booking all the roles I'm not booking now. Mm-hmm. And it's this fucking way to still let the booze and drugs steal my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not promising, because this has been a long journey with this one, but I will make the reverse pact that when that one crowds my head, I'm just going to go, I'm bored of you, not talking to my fucking friend like that, moving on.
Yeah.
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 I think it's important to have
that
these things.
That is important. That's really brave that you just shared that.
Wow. I don't know. I talk about this stuff pretty
you
openly
do talk
on the
openly,
podcast.
Which is good.
And the other thing is, I don't, this is an interesting one for me about bravery, is that saying it and the feeling behind it can sometimes be separate. Mm-hmm. So even that becomes a new story. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, it's interesting because people say that to me a lot, actually. They'll be like, oh, I read that article that you wrote on, you know, abusive relationships. That was really brave. Or I saw your this body project thing that I
yeah.
did. And they're like, you talked really openly about your body image issues. That was really brave. And it's like, is it brave if that's just easier for me to do?
Right.
However,
okay, so let's keep going.
Yeah.
What's harder then? What's harder?
Well, Lena Dunham also wrote an article about this, which really got me thinking about it, because she's called brave a lot for being naked on TV.
Right.
Which is, like, actually not, like, she's like, it's not really brave that just because I'm not perfect and naked on TV, you know? Like,
it kind of is, though. And
it
I think she feels like it's,
she has a very confessional nature to her storytelling.
Absolutely.
And so do I, and so I don't really know how brave I am. I actually think it's just, this is what I'm like.
So what would be braver? What would be the bravest thing you could do as an artist?
I mean, I think what would take real bravery is if I actually, like, committed to living in Los Angeles and was okay with not working for 6 months or a year.
Ooh, I like it.
Right.
We
like,
talked about that before we started.
That's real. To me, that would be, like, an act of bravery for me. For me, talking about, you know, like, it's almost like I think that other people are doing me a favor by letting me, like, get these feelings out into the world.
Sure.
Like, it's not really
it.
Like,
I get it.
I don't
always
see
it as, thank,
like, an
the listeners,
bravery.
Even on this
yeah.
thing. And I mean, for me, honestly, and I'm not going to hit pause after, but this should be the mic drop. My bravery would be shutting up for a while. You know, just mm-hmm. going, listen a bit, take in more of the world around, be uncertain.
Don't, yeah, that's hard for me too.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a bright guy, and so I like thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, the act of thinking is a joy for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where it's like, just turn that off for a while. Mm-hmm. Just be for a while. And I don't mean be, like, meditate, take yoga, zen. I mean, don't assert the opinion you have for a second, mm-hmm. which is an interesting one, obviously, even with the social media. It's not just that I don't want stuff coming in. It's that I don't necessarily love what I'm putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as an actor, I do right now. Do you go between it's the same question two ways, and in a definition of self relating to which thing you're focusing on, or do you, and also preference?
Do I like, as an actress or writer?
Yeah, like,
or
do you does that bother you at all, trying to figure out which you are? Or do you find it?
It's interesting because now people will ask me, like, are you done acting now? Are you just a writer? And I always feel offended by that question.
Sure.
But I'm also like, why am I offended? Like, this is just, like, that says something to me that I'm offended by that, you know? Because it's like, well, that's not really offensive. That's them literally just asking if you, like, have focused more on one career and are done with the other one. It's what's strange is I don't identify as either.
Right.
I don't really. I feel like I'm always just, you know, tricking people.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I love the not identifying as either, though,
yeah.
because I think that's important. I always talk about it on this, is that definition of self is unnecessary.
That helps me to hear you say that, because I always feel like I should define myself as this or this or
yeah.
this, but it's like, I am not, I'm just not able to.
I'm sure it helps externally. Like, you know, even in LA, I was told so many times by different excellent people, until you're a name, you're a type,
mm-hmm.
or people could call it branding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know who Sean Benson is yet. So how is he the young professional actor,
mm-hmm.
or is he edgy, or, you know, does what box of guys we're bringing in, does it fit in?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
However, I don't need to live there. So in a way, having a professional, like, detachment and going, yeah, I offer this. It's not who I am, though. It's if I'm selling Coca-Cola, just because the can's red doesn't mean I'm red.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing as an actor, because I think I'm selling myself, but it's a product. Mm-hmm. Even me on this podcast, like when you said that was really brave, it's funny because I say the same thing. I'm like, well, it's not that brave today, because I know I think it. So it's the same as like saying, check out my watch. Like, mm-hmm. it's just something that I own mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. There's nothing revelatory in that. And that's what's interesting, is I wonder, where do we need to be revelatory? Even now, we're talking within a scope of something palatable. Mm-hmm. Or where is it genuinely revelatory? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to pause this for a sec, because Em's waiting outside. Let's get her up. She might have a question for you.
Oh, yay.
Okay, we're back. If you hear rustling in the background, that's Emily in the studio.
Love Emily.
Hey,
girl.
So what are you doing for the holidays?
Just spending time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my grandfather recently passed away, so it's been sad and hard. But we're doing his like celebration of life.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you guys have a big family? Or is it just the four of you?
It's the four of us, and then I do like have cousins, and I also have an older sister. So no, not big, but like big enough, I guess.
And are you dating anyone right now?
I am not.
No.
Not. No.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen, just
gentlemen
put
callers?
It out. Gentlemen yeah. callers.
Get at me.
Get at her. Are you actively open to going out on stuff?
Yeah, I want a boyfriend. Yeah.
You want a boyfriend? What does that mean? You want the whole package?
Yeah, see, that's interesting, because I think about actually getting married or dating like a suitable option, and I'm like, oh god, no. And it freaks me out a little bit, but no, I would like to be in a relationship, definitely.
We talked about this once about older guys.
Yeah. I'm scared of them.
So they like you.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I am scared. I don't know if I like them. But it's probably because I like don't really want to be in a serious relationship, because I think older men are the only guys I actually have a lot in common with or click with.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of it, too, is that, like, older guys wanting to date younger girls are pretty fucking creepy. Or, you know, because even Emily's family for a while was like, her sister-in-law was like, what's up with him? Like, mm-hmm. and I have an answer. Like, I have, like, a 7-year gap of fucking insanity.
Yeah.
There's I actually am an older creep. I just have a bit of an excuse.
Well,
but
I see
all of us are a bit off if we're this age.
And, also,
and we've never been engaged or whatever. And that's just a fact. I own that, you know?
Yeah. So but I also see your relationship, and I think that it's a true partnership, and both people get each other, and she, like, had the same amount of, I don't know, emotional, like, depth and intelligence. And so I actually do think, like, older men, younger woman works well.
We generally. Have a lot of friends that it's working well with, too.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is, your instinct's probably a bit right on the guys. Initially, at least.
Also, I think that, like, I need to realize that actually I'm non-committal. Like, whereas an older guy, like, in his, like, mid to later 30s is probably going to want to meet the person and, like, have something real and children and stuff. And on, like, intellectually, I'm like, oh, I totally want that. But then whenever I'm given that opportunity, I'm like, ugh, no.
Because you're not attracted, or because the big picture seems weird?
The big picture freaks me out, because I'm like, well, where am I going to live? Or, what country should I be in?
Aside from our age difference, do you think that guy's creepy for being that age and wanting to date me?
I didn't really think about that, but I had never been in the scene being like thinking about dating an older guy. It just happened.
Right.
And I don't know. Yeah. It just happened. But I totally get what you're saying, and I say don't get in a relationship until you want to be there, because once you get in one, you're in one. You have for another person to decide what country you want to be in. You can't just go to France for a year, you know.
Well,
you can, but, you know, it's a negotiation.
The only thing you can't be when you're in a relationship is single.
Yeah.
You can construct it any other way you want, but that one you can't.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'm kind of with them. Someone always says, oh, no, it's the fucking Little Miss Sunshine, where Alan Arkin's like, fuck as many girls as you can before you get married.
You know what? That's funny. That was my grandpa's advice to my little brother all the time.
This is the sexism. Why isn't this his advice to you?
Yeah. I know. Why didn't Poppy just let me be a slut?
But that's what's funny, is it's a slut for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, metaphorically, I love that advice. It's like...
Well, it's also a lot of my married friends will also tell me that. They will be like, you know, have as much fun, have as many experiences as you want to before you get married, because it's what Em says, when you're in a relationship, then you're in a relationship.
Well, then according to studies, then married people get told that by people with kids.
Yeah.
Because studies say that married people without kids are the technically happiest on the in the first world. Hmm. Because they've got the dual income, they've got the relaxation of knowing that someone will be there at night when they fall asleep, mm-hmm. but they're still sleeping and having fun and going to Paris and mm-hmm. doing all that shit, mm-hmm. Versus, you know, the kids is more fulfilling or satisfying, but it's
difficult.
Difficult. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even with me and you, like, there's nothing more fulfilling or satisfying, but there'd probably be a Friday night where you could go have more fun. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the kids versus married, and then the married versus single. Mm-hmm. There's fun, but then there's lonely and unsatisfied at times, too.
Yeah.
Wow. I always think it's so rad when people are married young. I have a friend who's married, and they're in their 20, like, you know, 20s, and then no kids, no house. Like, they're just, like, partying and hanging out with each other, and I think that's pretty badass if you can find someone that you want to do that with.
Yeah.
And then you have so many years before you have a kid, like, you can enjoy your married life.
Yeah.
This is why I'm holding off on the dog, babe.
No.
You got pets? You got any pets?
No, but I would love to have a dog.
You want a dog?
Get a dog! Adopt a dog!
I know. I would love to. I would need a partner to do that, though, because I'm not home all the time.
Yes.
So it need to be someone who could, like...
I'll be your partner.
Babe, I'm in. I would love to be Emily's girlfriend.
I love it. I don't have an issue with any of what's happening right now. This is all really great. Katie, will you come and chat again? I feel like we just got started. We literally, and we've been chatting for an hour. We didn't just get started, but
anytime.
I love you. I love talking to you.
I love you, Sean.
It's so easy. And from the first time we met and chatted, it was just
like... I know,
like,
it was just a true connect.
We're chatting. But the thing I love about you, and this is, you know, we were talking about revelatory or not, but it is, it's genuine. I don't know if I'm revelatory, but every time we've ever spoken, we just start talking about what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of stuff. And I really appreciate that. And those are the guests I like to have on the show.
Oh, I love you. You're a very genuine person, and I'm very happy that you're my friend.
Okay, well, everybody, we didn't even get to any great questions or anything because I'm not posting all that shit on media right now, and maybe next time I will, and it'll help you guys chip in a little more. Em, you got any questions for Katie Boland? Anything at all?
Ooh.
You got great stuff. Just pretend we're having a dinner party.
If you got to go spend Christmas with your family anywhere in the world, all expenses paid for 2 weeks, where would you go?
I would say Ireland because we have Irish heritage and we've never done... I've been there, but
yes.
My mom has never been there. My brother has never been there. I think my dad would really like it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What would yours be, Em?
Man, we have so many kids in the family that it's like you can't. I would just go to Paris, but kids in Paris, it's like, I don't know, there's gotta be some. Brazil.
Brazil?
I don't know.
I think we'd have a great time.
I was just like warm.
Well, nice. I hope I get to be part of the family for that one, at least. You do, and I'd actually go Hawaii right now. I think my folks have never been. They'd love it. And if we did a resort, my mom's mobility wouldn't be an issue, and then we could go scuba and do all that
shit. I might
do
Hawaii. I might change mine.
You want to do Hawaii?
That's a good one.
The fucking kids would love Hawaii.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So we got two Hawaiis
and
we got one Ireland. I like it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
And that's a wrap. Chatting Between Takes. See you next time.